Actually, the intention of the world by Kunta is not that our purpose is to aspire to go back to Godhead. That's the purpose of our being here. But before that, if you talk about going back to Godhead, we need to become Krishna conscious here in this world. So it's not that, what you mentioned in the program, that place where there is no anxiety, that place is here already. Even in this world, we can create an atmosphere, the Vaikuntha atmosphere. Prabhupada mentioned here, this meditation movement is that place. And that's where it's explained that this always some temples are the embassy of the spiritual world, or the windows of the spiritual world. So the spiritual world is not that so far away. You can be right here in the spiritual world where you are in our temples. We can talk about going back to God and everything, but then before getting anywhere, we need to purify ourselves through chanting on Krishna. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama. That is the process of purification. It's not that purification is something vague. You can simply chant Hare Krishna. This is a simple process. It's mentioned in Bhagavatam that this Kali Yuga is everyone is full of fault. This ocean of fault. Nidevaja. And the chanting of Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna Maha Mantra is the process. The only process by which one can attain pure existence through chanting Hare Krishna. And of course today is a special day, the disappearance of Bhaktisura Maharaj, and devotees come and go, that's very natural. Some go early, some go late. But everything we know that is the hand of Krishna behind everything. That should be understood clearly. Sometimes people think that dying in presence of the devotees in the temple is the only way. And opponents are people who are come from different groups. They're looking to find some excuse to think that if you die somewhere else, not in the association of devotees, that means you're not pure. But they are foot soldiers, they're fighting in the field. But the generals, they're running in front. So that's very clear in the sense one. That so we are like the foot soldiers, but the generals are right in front, and they're leading the army. And a lot of the time they don't come back. And if they do come back, they're hurt. Scars. Look at what kind of scars. So, you know, in the battle of Kurukshetra, 5,000 years ago, there's millions and millions of people died, and they all went back to Godhead, or liberation, whatever. They died in front of Krishna. We don't want to live in this world. If we have any reason to live in this world, let us die for Krishna. Let us die in preaching the glory of Krishna. That is actually the purpose of our opinion. A sincere disciple, a sincere devotee, dedicated to the Guru Maharaj, dedicated to Prabhupada. That is the attitude. The attitude of a sincere devotee is that they are, what's that verse? They don't want any mukti, they don't want anything. They just want to serve Krishna. They want to see Krishna's face. They want to see the spiritual master's face. That is their ultimate attitude. That is bhakti. Sometimes people talk about bhakti and, you know, what is bhakti? Bhakti starts right from the beginning, devotional service. Bhakti Mahamayanati Krishna said that you can achieve meaning through bhakti. We can talk about being bhakti. And a lot of people, they talk in the university, like, they give lectures on bhakti, devotional service, and ecstasy of the Lord, love of God. And then when it's finished, they go out and light a cigarette. That's professional. So, we, in order to chant Hare Krishna, Shravanam Kirtanam, we have to have taste, ruchi. You know, the first taste of devotion to Krishna is when we can develop that taste through associating with devotees. Sadhu Sangha, Sadhu Sangha, Sadhu Sastra Kaya. All scriptures mention that one must associate with sadhus. Sometimes people say, oh, I didn't need to be with so many people, I can do it on my own. When the Lord said that, Prabhupada said, there are enough monkeys, we don't need any more. Because they will go to Radhakum, they go to Mathura, and they chant Hare Krishna on their own. Well, we have, you know, Krishna Balaram here. Our ISKCON temples, ISKCON Prabhupada says here. When the Lord said, oh Prabhupada, please bless me that I can go and take initiation from this group. Prabhupada said, I bless you that you won't find a guru. Prabhupada was very happy. Prabhupada is the perfect guru, and you want to leave and find somewhere else. So the spiritual master is the way, via media, to Krishna. So I was going to mention is that sometimes people say that, you know, how you die, in what mood and where, and that determines if you are gone back to Godhead or not. There was a devotee here, all the devotees were from before. They know there was a devotee here named Puri. You heard about him? He was a very famous devotee, a very, very nice devotee. He was a sankirtan, and he was up all night during sankirtan, and he fell asleep on the wheel. Instant dead. So sometimes when you ask, did he go back to Godhead? Because Krishna said, I think of me at the time of death. But he was so innocent. But don't worry about it. Krishna is always there for such devotees. Don't think that all of us, my wish that I will die here, generation and conservation of devotees, and be Kirtan. I don't think that's going to happen. Who knows if Krishna can arrange that? But we should know that those devotees have left fighting for Krishna. Krishna is always there for them. Our temple is here, Prabhupada gave me class the other day. So the deity is there. You know, like sometimes people who are like tutors, they need the deity because they can't see Krishna everywhere, so they need to have a home. But nonetheless, our deity is here. I've been to so many temples in India, but when I came to ISKCON temple, I saw such a clean temple and so beautiful. And you look at the marble, so spotless clean. You can eat off it. You know, you can go to Indian temple, so many Indian temple. There's never as clean as ISKCON temple. And the deities are so beautiful, look at the dresses. So they are there to attract us to come to him. Preaching. Our temple is meant for preaching. So it's all the mercy of your Lord. Srila Prabhupada set the standard, and he himself was so clean. So, you see, we can talk about so many things, big philosophy, but unless we have love for his devotees, love for Prabhupada, loyalty to Prabhupada, loyalty to ISKCON, loyalty to Srila Prabhupada's Hare Krishna movement, that determines how much we love Krishna. Our devotion to Krishna expresses. I put a picture in the Facebook that Srila Prabhupada was embracing with Chiru Maharaj. And somebody designed it in a Photoshop. It looks really great photo. So I put it up and I said, Jambi Jambi Prabhushe. And Prabhupada switched a nice contour aid. And there was like heaps of people putting comments. And somebody said, this is a Photoshop. How do you trust that? That I said, truth is truth. We express it, our truth, and the basis of its truth. We express our opinion and the basis of its truth. So we can make differences, but the truth is the goal of everything. So the truth is the devotee is never die. My brother and I were twins. I told you before, we were sleeping together. Twins are going to attach to each other, quick from pass out or something. But we lived together, and in those days in India, we lived in very small cottages, in the bush area. A lot of snakes around. And the snake came from outside and went over my body and beat him, with my brother who was next to me. I didn't feel it, but obviously,
they had the snake had to go over me and bite me because I was on the other side of the wall. Anyway, he woke up, he said something bit me, and he threw it at me. Everybody knew the snake bite right on the vein, because the snake's always right in the vein, because then the blood goes to your head. And it's very quick. And so, my point is, I think that's what I very quickly. So, my father, he got a bicycle and went to get the snake charmer. You know, they take the poison out. And there's an expert snake charmer, really expert. He can, there's no doubt that he can take the poison out. But then, he missed him. He was such in a hurry. And he went to someone else with another experience. You know what I mean? So then, he bought that guy. And he was doing things wrong and he died. So everybody said, why did you get him? So we figured out that it was meant for him to go. So there's Yogamaya, Mahamaya, there's different types of Krishna energy. They covered us. The Bhakti Churumaras I've heard, Chaitanya Maharaj and the devotees in Ujjayi, they all told him, don't go to America. It's not good time. Please, Maharaj, they begged him. But some reason or another, he was blinded. He said, I have to go on my disciples on project. He needed to go urgently. So I feel the sort of similarities that he was covered by Krishna, Maya, and he had to go there. He tried to understand. Before we can jump to some conclusion, oh, you know, he's this, he's that, we always have to be cool-headed and understand things in a very scientific way through knowledge. What is the hand behind Krishna's hand behind his death? This is the reason for it. So he was blinded by Yoga Maya. Krishna covered him. And then, this thing happened. So, and sometimes babies are not born, they die in the womb, like miscarriage. So they come for a short time and they leave. So it is all in Krishna's hand. But even Krishna himself, always very spiritually sentimental, loving for his devotee. Krishna there was passing away, and Krishna was around him, looking at him, because he wanted to die in front of Krishna. So we always know that there's a purpose behind everything. So sometimes we are, when we are chanting Hare Krishna, we are calling, Hey Krishna, Hare Krishna. And Krishna can hear us. Don't think he can hear you. You can chant Krishna's name loudly, Hare Krishna. And you kill yourself, you forget it. You get so throat, you get your throat, and you chant so loudly. But even if you chant softly, Krishna can hear you. Because it's in your heart. Sometimes you say, Hare Krishna. And Krishna is up there. Hare, who is calling me? He don't even know. So Krishna is calling his devotees. Just like that. We are calling for Krishna and Krishna is calling us. Actually, he's always calling us. Why is he playing flute? He's playing the flute, he's calling us. Not only he's calling the cows, he's also calling us. And we say, oh, Krishna, I'm sorry. I know you're calling. I'm going to give you some time. I'll come a bit later. So you look the other way. We made promise to Krishna within the womb. Please take me out. It's such a suffering place. I'm sorry. I promise you. When we get out of the womb, we're thinking, oh, it's such a beautiful place. So it's so nice here. We forget that promise we made to Krishna. So Krishna's coming to see you. Come, come. Ah, a little bit later. No, thank you. Not now. So when you chant Hare Krishna, Krishna can hear us. Now Krishna is coming, us coming. So we are going to the call of Krishna. Krishna is calling us. Huh? So it's not something that is bitter. Everything is very clear.
We have to see, if you see through the scriptures, everything is very clear. Nothing is beautiful. So that's why we need to always understand, you know, I remember when Bhaktisiddha Maharaj first joined, I was in Mayapur, he joined late 70s, 76. I was only a kid, I joined in 73. So Bhaktisiddha Maharaj, he was just in Mayapur, and he was very determined devotee, and he wanted to meet Prabhupada. He read a book, and it was a guru, and he wanted to meet Prabhupada. So Prabhupada wasn't around till next year, so he was doing services, and when Prabhupada came, he immediately initiated him, first and second. I haven't heard anyone get initiated first and second, one time. And 3 months later, he initiated him. He gave him some message 3 months later, in the same year, 1977. Because Prabhupada knew that he's leading this world and this person is very important. He's going to help his movement spread his consciousness later on. In India, all of us who are from India, we know sadhus and the great century people, they can tell our future. They say, oh, Swamiji, we die on your feet for mercy. Prabhupada knew that. Even when I was getting initiated, I came forward as just a small kid. I came forward, and everybody stopped. They were looking at this small kid. How can he get initiated? I was thinking, I hope I can get initiated. And what happened? Prabhupada wasn't going to give me initiation. He looked at me. He says, and he was just looking. And I thought maybe I knew that he studied me, like. My past life history. Many years ago, I was in Malaysia. One guy looked at me. He said, "Oh, you were a demon in your last life. You killed so many people in the war, like Hindu Muslim, that kind of thing in India." And so yeah, I said, "Wow, I killed how many people? Do you know the number?" He said, "Oh, thousands. Maybe they're shooting them." And then, how could I get initiated by Prabhupada? So I was thinking, it's our blessing that it's coming from Prabhupada. By His mercy, we are elevated. So he's looking at me, no way, I'm not going to get initiated. And too young, and he's going to say no. And he was looking around, he was asking for Jagat Kumaras, because he didn't want to recommend. And he wasn't around, they all disappeared. Because he probably was looking for them, and they recommended this guy is too young. So Prabhupada looked around and he said, he's too young, I can't initiate him. Then I was just like inside, I'm praying. And he can feel that. Maybe he was just sensing. And I thought, please, Krishna. I wasn't saying, I was thinking of Krishna, rather than of man, please. This is the devil. No, just help me. Then he said, oh, never mind. I thought, so good. So actually, Bhaktisiddha Maharaj was, you know, I'm sure he had something to do with Prabhupada in past life. And he says he's going to help him spread Krishna consciousness in the future. And he did. He was so determined to open a temple. That's why he did that big temple in Ujjain. I don't have any desire to open a temple because, what is the need? Because we have such a big temple here, Prabhupada already gave us. But if you want to open a temple, that's fine. So he was refreshing. So they said, okay, open a temple somewhere else, not here, Mike already had. So he opened that big temple in Germany. And he saw influential glory in this coming. And he had so many big people that he was bringing to his consciousness. This is what I was saying. Senapati Bhakta, the commander chief of an army. That's what Bhaktisiddha Maharaj is, or Tamakrishna Maharaj is. When I was in Hong Kong, Tamakrishna Maharaj, he's a good friend of Bhaktisiddha Maharaj. And once the Bhaktisiddha Maharaj and Tamakrishna Maharaj, they were in a room in Mayapur. Bhaktisiddha Maharaj has a room up there on top of the conference room at the end. There's a big room. And so every time I go to India, I always like to see Tamakrishna Maharaj. If he's in Mayapur, I go see him. If he's in Vrindavan, I go see him. So he was in Mayapur. If they go see Dharani, but Pam is angry. But this
Scientology tomorrow than today. So I went up, and they had this wooden thing hanging at the door, you know, like so the birds and flies can go in. So door was open, so I could see him. I could see Bhaktisvara Maharaj, like Kamakrishna Maharaj kind of behind him, and he could see me. So then I'm just trying to give him the hint, and I'm here, I'm a Sikh Maharaj. And so Bhaktisvara Maharaj said, you know, Prabhupada's here. I said, oh, come in. So then we sat and he said, give me some report. And I just came to Poland, you know, how to preaching and Prabhupada Maharaj, you know, all things. And I told him, I said, there are items they're talking about, but then we just talked about, he asked me to say something. And Bhaktisvara Maharaj was very humble, very, very gentleman. I always feel very shy to go near him because, you know, he said, you came to Hare Krishna movement in Mayapur, you know, much earlier than me and everything. And so I didn't go see him because he got disciples and all people around him. And he said, just come here and sit here and like that. And eat with me and things. So I didn't see him because it's just too much. And so then, when I left Vrindavan Gurukul, as you know, my history, I couldn't speak Bengali. I'm from Bengal, but I couldn't say a thing in Bengali. A word like Tiyat, Kamanasa, that's all, like an audio. And so there was a worry for Bhagavananda. He was my, you know, school tuition, and he wanted me to come here. So before that, he wanted me to learn Bengali language. So he said, you go and study Bhaktisvara Maharaj in Calcutta, and he can teach you. But he's a gentleman, very educated, and he speaks very good Bengali. And so I was with him for 6 months in Calcutta. And he was so busy. And get up in the morning, and I had to carry the briefcase over here and there, all throughout the day. He was translating our Prabhupada's books in Bengali. And he had no time to talk to me, just a little bit. He carried my case, and how are you, and just a little bit. And he was supposed to teach me Bengali. And he would go see book publisher, printer, all the different places in Calcutta, so it was super busy. And then every week we'd go to Mayapur. He had his own driver and he'd go to Mayapur. And at the end of the day, I was so tired. Like you all in the ashram, I was tired. But Maharaj didn't say, no, you're tired or so. I had to find a place somewhere and go to sleep while he's busy. And so there was a place called Rain Park in Calcutta, the DVD houses. And so there was, in India, they have people working and then they have this, at the back, they put bicycle, this and that. They have one alley kind of place in the building. You know, people there put the bicycle, kind of a dirty area. But I found a place, they have one chair, that the security guy took it and would sit there. Sometimes he's not sitting. And I said, can I sit there? And I would go to the back and sleep. I'm so tired. And so, and in the evening, you meet Indian people, like rich Indians, go to their home, have overrun, have prasadam. I like that part, because they have really prasadam. They cook for Maharaj. And so, I was hoping that it would go every night, it doesn't matter. I could digest it, but I was young then. And Maharaj never spoke much. So, I said to him, you know, I'm supposed to learn Bengali from you. He said, oh, you just listen to me when I'm talking and preaching Bengali. That's good. That's how you learn, interacting. And after a while, we just gave up. So we stopped talking in English. I was happy. And then he said he'd go and live in the temple, at the prophetic temple. Just before I left to come here, he wanted to talk to me. It was Bhaktisvara Maharaj and his good friend is Sarva Bhavana. Remember him? Sarva
Bhavana.
Yeah. And they were friends in Germany, they wanted to study there. So they both came together, I think. And so they sat, they were taking a shower, so they sat, made me sit there. They talked to me for an hour. Stay brahmachari, be Krishna conscious, because I'm coming here. there's like this place full of Maya, Australia is not a place for you, and it's not a good place for you, your place is here, like in India, Maya, Vrindavan, you can make a brahmachari, like all of these things, for an hour, they're like hammering on me. I said, yes, no. I said, I recorded. And then we were supposed to be eating, but no one's eating. We were just sitting there right into it. When they don't walk, and they get carried away when they're trying to preach someone, kind of brahmachari. And then I was like, oh, yeah. And then, and the next day, I had my visa to come here 6 months before. This Abhidharam guy, he took the passport and locked away. So they said, you still didn't get a visa here, because they didn't want to leave. So then this is the one devotee named Naresha, you know him? And he says, what's happening? Where's your passport? I said, I don't know, they don't have it all. And then he said, like, I had a visa months ago. They said, you're going tomorrow. I said, no, can you give me a bit more time? They go, open my time. Because they're devotees from here, they go to India, they want me to come and cover the services. I said, yeah, okay. And so then, I'm just saying that, you know, Bhakti Maharaj was very understanding and, you know, and very gentle. And never someone getting angry. And never. And he used to cook, sometimes he used to cook, like khichdi, and some simple thing. And he said, this khichdi, he probably taught him how to cook. He said he calls it monk's delight. If you make it really nice, not like in Melbourne, you put paneer and peas, and very simple, easy, and it's very tasty. And so I should look forward for him to cook. And he probably personally taught him how to cook all this in preparations. And then he came to the Bhaktivedanta Mahārāja, the manor once. And we had a huge kirtan in the temple. It was some festival. I forget what it was. And it was like, we are sliding back and forth. The brahmacharis at the manor, they're a little wild. You guys are wild, they're really wild. And we're sliding, and we're doing all kinds of stuff, flipping, and you know. And there was no drama. And then Bhakti from Mars was quite upset the way we were behaving. And he was speaking at the end, so he mentioned, he said, did you guys like monkeys? And then he was, you're too wild. You calm down, man. Because he himself very peaceful. And when you see him doing kirtan, very mild. And once he was a city, we throw the flower at each other sometimes. He stopped that in the middle of kirtan. He says, be respectful. So he always a very gentleman about everything. So my point is that we have to always remember by the mercy of the Vaishnavas, by the mercy of Krishna's glory. We can get the mercy of Krishna. And always know, and Bhakti Maharaj, I remember, he is the one who bought all the stuff from Vrindavan, from Prabhupada passed away. He bought all those garland, Prabhupada's personal things, flowers particularly, to place in Samadhi Mayapur. So he was very, very senior, even right from the beginning. And Prabhupada personally was entrusted with him to adopt him and say anything about to him rather than others. And apparently they were telling me when Prabhupada, they were placing Prabhupada in the room, in the pit, with sand, not sand, but salt. And he was down there and making sure the salt was on Prabhupada for preserving. And they were covering Prabhupada's body with salt, tons of salt, like sacks of salt. Were you there? They were eating it. And I was in Mayapur, so I really wanted to come. They said, no way, you're here. And then we heard everything. And he didn't want to come out. But Sri was down there. He was telling me he wanted to get covered with Prabhupada himself, with salt. He didn't want to come out, so they had to pull him out. So he loved Prabhupada so much. So my point is that we need to be very loyal to our Guru Maharaj. Loyal means dedication, working hard for Prabhupada. Prabhupada works so hard.
These Maharajas, Ramakrishna Maharaj, Shiva Maharaj, Vinayadevati Maharaj, and Yoga Guru Maharaj, they work so hard. So I said, yeah, I want to become a guru, I want to be a sannyasi. One time, Lord Vishnu Maharaj was here, I said, I want to talk to him separately in the room. So he said, they come. So I said, Maharaj, I was like, you know, you guys are really having out for like a lot of fun, you know, traveling, and you know, people like serving you, they cook for you. You must be having a good time. You know, and I said, can I, like, suppose I become the guru, I would love to be. And then he said, don't you think about it. So he told me all the things. He said, listen, you know, the amount of anxiety we have, you have no idea. You know, they have so much anxiety because they travel in so much, but they have so much issues. Actually, what makes them sick is traveling. Too much traveling in the air is also not good. You know, half of your time, you're in the air. 30,000 feet up in the air. You have to go. The ear blocks, the nose blocks, because the air is different up there. So I was told, yeah, this is the karma of the disciple that the guru feels that way. That may be another thing. But it's all the traveling that makes them tired and get sick. So we have to travel and we have to answer from the disciple. They all have an issue that we have to answer them, write a letter. They have tons of letters. You know, if like one man or someone, you know, calls me and I have to answer you, I'm already tired. Somebody else. You know, imagine you have to write letters to all of your disciples. Tons. They all have homework every day. That's why they're tired. So don't even think about becoming, you know. So we have to become a guru not to take that, so they have no responsibility to become a guru. It's not a joke. So the becoming a guru means you become Krishna conscious yourself. Then you can teach others. So, you know, and that's Shiva Maharaj, and he was so dedicated, like I said before, he probably knew who he was in his past life. There's a devotee in England, and he does regression. I said, I want to do regression. And so I was sitting, he tells the devotee what you were in their past life. They put you in a slave. It's a very big thing in the Western country. They put you in a slave, dim light, like this. And so they put me on. This is not for you. You're too passionate. You can't relax. You have to go to relax to be able to go deep into your past life. So they said, in the room where I did it, they did a thing. And I couldn't relax. I couldn't. I said, try again. I have more relaxed this time. I couldn't. I was just trying to do my. So then I said, don't worry about what you're in the past life. I'll at least go see somebody in India with a hand, they can tell this regression thing is not for me. It's too intense. So they did this Guru Maharaj, and they said he was a Rajput in India, past life, in a Rajput, a king. And then he had to fight Muslims in a war, and he had a sword, he was on a horse. And he got killed by opponents, and that's how he died. And that was the life before last life. And then last life, he was a yogi in the Himalaya, and he was a perfect yogi. But it doesn't matter how perfect you are, you cannot go back to Godhead unless you're a Krishna Bhakta. So then he took birth in this life in America, and he joined Prabhupada. So you have to go back to God, don't think you are a Vrindavashi, you can go back to God. You have to take birth in New York. Then you go back to God, John Prabhupada. That's the idea. So, Prabhupada left Vrindavan, and he went to New York, in America. So, it's the same for me. I was born in Miami. Can you imagine? Like, people just, scratch your back, you have two more arms in the back. People born, some people, they have four arms. They can have two arms. So we are born in the Holy Land. But I didn't know anything about Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Then I heard from the American Buddhists, you know, God is like this, he plays flute, and we should just go to the temple and pray, and that's it. And we thank you so much, I don't know, I love you, bless you. But we did anything philosophically. Who God is, this is it. I mean, I had Gorin Thai baby. I used to play with the wooden Gorin Thai. The kids played with as a toy, exactly then. But we didn't know what Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is. And we had two kids in our village. They were identical, like me, but they used to call them Gorin Thai because they were so identical. So we knew a little bit about Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And so I heard everything about Krishna consciousness from everything about Krishna consciousness from a Western movie. So don't think you were born in the Holy Land that you will end up knowing everything. You had a chance to know a little bit about Krishna, but you're going to know more about Krishna from Srila Prabhupada and his disciples. I came here one day and I saw an Indian person said, they saw one white devotee and said to me in Hindi, said, oh, you also have the white people here in devotee. I said, Baba, you know, this con was actually made by white people. These people came later. So, like nowadays we have all Indian devotees, that's good. But you know, like many years ago, it was all in the 70s, it was all white devotees. So, you know, so we're talking about what seminars and I was saying, like, when we met the Prabhupada, we saw a character in Prabhupada. He's like a touchstone. And Prabhupada has so many good qualities. And he can touch the heart of the hard-hearted people like stone, melt. You know, I worked for a diamond company in Hong Kong, and I found out how the diamond is made out of. When you first get it, it's they call a rough diamond. It's you can't tell. It's like a piece of rock. You can't tell the diamond in the middle, and so it's rock hard, and you can't break the diamond with a hammer. The only way you break the diamond is with another diamond. Diamond breaks the diamond. So I was thinking, that my point is, it's so different. You go to the shop and you buy a diamond, you can't tell, they think it's cheap. So that's why you go to the diamond shop, they have all this light. They put it over the diamond. Because, so if you were buying, if you know anything about diamond, you have to look from the side. It's not really shining. The good, they call it SI or D color, very bright. It hurts your eye. It has a fire. It hurts your eye. So if the fire is not there, it's just low color. But that's why they grow this light to make it shiny. And they have three different types of paper. They put the first layer, second layer, third layer. The first layer is white color because it matches the color of the diamond. And the second layer is yellow and then blue color. So when you check the diamond, you have to see the white color. That's why the others use a look. You can't tell with your eyes. So my point is, pure goodness, they can melt the heart. They can melt that you have to know. You have to know those people. And so Bhakti Surya, and so many others, they're like the touchstone. They have so much hatred, they have fire. This is why this Asidai I'm sure about you know, he didn't want to meet any swamis because it's all cheapers. And his friends said, no, this Bhakti Siddhanta is different. So Bhakti Siddhanta, no, he was looking for a sadhu. And that's why he wrote a book and he came to this one and said he wanted to be Prabhupada. The Prabhupada had the power to melt the heart. He had that fire, that vision, you can touch the heart, and he touched the heart of some Vaishnavas. Yeah, Hare Krishna. The fun is like a few stories. We want to hear from you now. Bhakti Sarvajana Ki, Srila Prabhupada Ki, Hare Krishna.
Thanks for that. Om Jnana Timirandasya Yunamjuna Salakaya Chakshur Meditam Vena Tasmae Shri Shri Chaitanya Mano Vishnam Stapaktam Jini Kutale Swayam Rupa Kada Mahiyam Kadati Svapadantikam Ukam karoti vachalam pangam rangayate girya kripa tamam bande Shri Gurum Dinatarinam. Last conversation I had with Bhakti Charishwami was in Mayapur in February. Was it March? March, February? And I heard that he had some health issues in Sydney on his last visit. And I asked him why he didn't go to hospital, why he didn't get that his heart had, his arteries were blocked, their number, not, you know, constrained. And he told me that he didn't want to go to hospital because still Prabhupada said, you know, don't go to hospital, don't get all tubes. Okay, so the last few weeks have been a little bewildering, right? Because you know, the situation that we found ourselves in, observing from a remote distance, but observing the drama, if you like, as it played out, was quite distressing for me, especially distressing because, for me, because he told me I don't want to go to hospital and be in that situation, and yet that's how he ended up. But I think we have to be very careful about interpreting events that take place by just looking at the external manifestation of those. The external manifestation may not be exactly what's taking place. And we see, I had a good fortune. When I was a younger person, than I am now, I had the good fortune of looking after pretty much all of the guests and all the visitors that came to Melbourne, certainly all the Swamis. Balaram gave me the opportunity of picking everybody up. He used to go to the airport to pick everybody up. And but he eventually gave me that service. And I used to do all of the school programs. I used to do all of the speaking programs as well. So anyway, I got the opportunity of being the host for all of the visiting Swamis. And Bhakti Charishwami was, in those days, there was a lot more fanfare around Bhavananda's visits and Tamal Krishna Maharaj's visits and Jagatak Maharaj's visits. And Bhakti Chalaswami in those days was a, what should we say? He was a little sannyasi, but they were the big sannyasis. And he used to come. He came with Bhavananda on more than one occasion to Australia. And even physically, he was a diminutive. He wasn't big like Prabhupada. You know, I was very surprised when we installed Srila Prabhupada on the Vyasa side. In my mind, Prabhupada was this huge, enormous personality. And then when we put Prabhupada, I said, he's a bit small. And so in those days, Bhagavad-gita was a junior, very much a junior sannyasi, not a GPC, not a guru. But as we observed and as we witnessed his career in ISKCON, which was notable and significant right from the start because of his connection with Srila Prabhupada, because of his qualification. Who was saying that? Somebody was saying the other day, maybe it was you, but that Bhakti Guru Maharaj was one of the first devotees who joined in India, who was a very well educated and a very cultured person, very softly spoken, very much a gentleman, very much a he was the epitome, the exemplar for Vaishnav, etiquette in Vaishnav culture. His initiation, his coming into the association of those, he was noticed. Even though he was in those days a, what we might call a small sannyasi, apparently, still he was marked by Srila Prabhupada, he was noticed by the senior devotees of the society in those days. And we see over the trajectory of his career how he's very much one of the moon-like life is not good enough, eh? he is a moon-like description of the devotees. It's like they're like moons, and the moon is significant because the moon's rays are very cooling and very soothing and very calming. In fact, you know, on the night that he passed away, I don't know if I was up at midnight or some. I got up at some, and it was full moon, bright as anything. It's almost like somebody turned the lights on. Very powerful.
That's Purnima.
Yeah, that Purnima. And we see in the character and in the career of Bhakti Chalaswami how he just became more prominent and more bold in his preaching and more influential, more powerful. powerful, if you like, as a preacher and as a senior figure within ISKCON. And we see his personality and his character very, very saintly, learned, gentle, humble, the social developer, that these ornaments of a devotee cover the strength and the prowess or the potency of such personalities. So while there's a great deal of softness, at the same time there's strength and there's potency and there's determination and shakti, I guess. And that shakti is endowed by Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada acting as an agent of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in empowering his disciples. And Bhakti Jyotiswami is a wonderful example of Srila Prabhupada's shakti, if you like, the bhakta shakti. So we've been very fortunate to have Bhakti Jyotiswami's association over many, many, many years, from those early days post Srila Prabhupada's, just immediately after Srila Prabhupada's departure, where Bhakti Jyotiswami was very intimately engaged in Prabhupada's service. And then over the years, as his role as a leading preacher in ISKCON, a spiritual master, a member of the GBC, and a leading light, if you like. So the events of the last few weeks have been a little bewildering, but we shouldn't be bewildered by those. You know, the departure of a devotee is a very in this case, a tragic event. It's a tragedy to lose the association of the devotees, and to lose it in such a way where we have no control. Of course, that's the lesson, if you like. You know, at some point, it's time for us to go, to leave. And that happens under Krishna's direction, that happens under Krishna's plan. And we're able to look at things philosophically because we know that the person doesn't die. This is our philosophy. And we're able to take solace in having a transcendental view of the change of body. It's going to happen to all of us at some point in time. And death is never nice, never pretty. But it's just it's we're not bewildered by these changes of the body. They're going to happen to all of us. It's a natural sequence of events that takes place and will take place for all of us. We can appreciate what a career and what a personality, what a devotee, by other characteristics, by the characteristics, the ornaments of a devotee, and also the occasion. He left his body on the titi of Guru Purnima and Sanatana Goswami's spirit state, so we can see Krishna's hand in the departure by the sequence of events, and then the actual time at which he left is very auspicious. Very auspicious. So, in Bhakti Jivaswami's career as a devotee, we see so many features and characteristics of a very elevated and advanced soul, a very gentle. And he, whenever you meet him, he would always ask, "How are you?" In Mayapur, we shared the same floor. The Melbourne room, there's the Australian Leaders room, the Sydney room, the Melbourne room, the BBT room, Australian BBT room, and then Bhakti Jivaswami's quarters, which used to be, were built originally for Bhagavanda, but Bhakti Jivaswami, I guess, inherited those that room later after Bhagavanda. Left Mayapur for some time. And so we always used to bump into each other. And he always would have his disciples come and visit. And he would always be inquiring from us, "I hope we're not making too much noise for you." So he was always concerned about the welfare of others, which is a characteristic. He's a big devotee in one sense, but at the same time always concerned about the welfare of others, right? Which is a characteristic of a devotee. He was chairman of the GBC 3 years ago, 2 or 3 years ago, not quite recently. And I've had the opportunity to work with most of the chairman over the last, since 1997, I suppose, 98, 97, so what's that? 20 years at least. And I noticed that the chairman of the GBC, by the end of the GBC meetings, is looking very, very tired. Because they're the cynosure of pretty much everything that's going on, a lot of pressure. Intense, meetings over at least 2 weeks, usually 2 weeks. And usually it's a conversation that I have with every chairman a few days before the end of the meetings, and I'm usually saying, because I know the resources, I'm saying, "Looking forward to this finishing argument." And I was just pretty tired at that particular point. And he said, "Yes, I am. I'm looking forward to a good rest." So, we can be inspired by the exemplary character, the exemplary service, the deep philosophical understanding and the deep commitment to Srila Prabhupada's mission. It was always encouraging the devotees to appreciate Srila Prabhupada's role as the founder of Acharya and Srila Prabhupada's connection with all of the devotees within ISKCON. He was part of the Prabhupada in our strategic planning, which was started 10, 15 years ago. He was part of the Prabhupada, the committee that was, and was instrumental in publishing the book that is our treatise on Srila Prabhupada. So he's very much a dedicated and determined and surrendered soul to Srila Prabhupada, and a surrendered servant this time. So even though the disappearance of Vaishnava is a very sad and somber and sobering occasion, at the same time it's an opportunity to remember and recall all the qualities and the personality of the devotees. And we can be inspired by Bhakti Jivaswami's dedication and devotion and his concern for all of us, for everyone. And we're inspired Prabhupada quotes the verse in the statement in the beginning of the Bhagavad Gita. He lives forever by his divine instructions. And the follower lives with him. So we're very fortunate to have had the association of and the encouragement of the support of the leadership, the guidance, and even though from the external point of view, the association is now not with the Vapu, but now with the Vani. This is how we associate with the devotees, through hearing and hearing their instructions. And meditating on their example. So we're very fortunate to have had the association of this homeless Bhakti Jivaswami. I remember, he used to always remind me of his visit to St. Kevin's, which is one of the leading private schools in Victoria. And we went to St. Kevin's to do a program. And the boys there, was it still a boys' school? St. Kevin's. The boys of St. Kevin's brought their school into ill repute last year, in highly publicised circumstances, but when we went there, the boys were very well behaved and very receptive to Maharaj's message. And he always used to remind me, remember the time we met at St. Kevin's? Because it was quite inspiring, and they were asking lots of questions. This was in the early 80s. I used to enjoy doing the school programs because, we were very often talking to the senior classes of some of the best schools in Melbourne. Although I remember the worst school I went to was Albert Park High School. Because they were just down the road in a building that's not as, and in a situation not as, not as good as it is now. But Maharaj used to recall that event, because I used to, And in those days, we didn't have devotees cooking lunches, like we do now. We have meals delivered. But in those days, we didn't. There wasn't always somebody cooking. So very often, we go to the gopals. So I remember more than one occasion driving Maharaj down to gopals and having lunch. Even one visit, he was having lunch, but breakfast was salad. And he used to make the salad. And then he would serve me the salad. It was very much he was very, very much into prasadam. Not prasadam consumption necessarily, but prasadam preparation and then serving the Vaishnava, serving the devotees. Which is really the essence of our existence is, Prabhupada mentions in the Chaitanya Charitamrita that our goal in life should be to serve the devotees. And that the devotees' plans are Krishna's plans. So whatever the devotees want us to do, then we should accept that as what Krishna wants us to do. This is quite elevated because sometimes the devotees ask you to do things that you don't want to do. I don't know if you've noticed that. But we have to accept it as Krishna's. And serving the devotees is fundamental to what we do as Vaishnavas and serving Vishnu. Bhute Bhojayate Jayasa Sadviti Priti Lakshanam. So this is a display of love and affection. And Bhakti Maharaj was loved to cook and serve the devotees. Sometimes, there's a competition to get to the front of the line to get the prasadam first. But the real measure of the devotee is not if you are first in the queue to get prasadam, but rather you're the servant, you're the server. That's a higher position. And then take the remnants. Take the remnants of the devotee. What's left will have. So we see that in Bhagavad Gita, I'm very dedicated to cooking and preparing, offering to Krishna and serving the devotees. We should take learn from his example. So I'll finish here at 9:00. Hare Krishna. His Holiness Bhakti Guru Swami Maharaj Ki Jai. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Ki Jai. Nidai Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Ki Jai.